Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I start giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How in the world did we arrive here? Hold on! Hold on!
Oh, the humanity!
Film at 11.
Breaking news! Breaking news here on... I'm your host, Peter Brady. It has been a couple of weeks. We have been letting you know about a bold new initiative without letting you know what it is. That's right. Today is the day we unveil this ministry's biggest effort to make an impact, not just in culture, but in the local church. And so it is my pleasure to announce to you. Okay, that's where the drum roll was supposed to go, Jimmy.
Sorry.
Budget didn't pass?
Not this time.
Our biggest, our boldest initiative yet. It is my pleasure to... Timing, my pleasure to let you know that we are launching a Christian version of the Daily Wire. That's right. This is big. This is bold. It is a massive undertaking, but we are biting off a big chunk. Why? Because we want to make a difference. We continue to hear from, well, pretty much everybody. Our society is crumbling. No argument from me. And we've got to do something. But then we're never told what to do exactly. We decided to do something. Furthermore, we see the assaults of an increasingly darkened world on the churches as progressivism, liberalism, makes its way into evangelicalism. And we want local churches strengthened. We want local pastors equipped. We want people to get saved. We want Jesus to be glorified. And so it is. We are launching a Christian version of the Daily Wire. You know, the cavalcade of celebrities that they have over there at the Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro, Jordan Peterson. I guess they're down one now with Candace being yep. booted off the deal, whatever that was all about. We want to do something similar, but entirely different in that it's not going to be a political platform. It's going to be an assembly of great, theologically sound and powerful voices speaking on, well, pretty much everything historically here in Wretched Land, which, by the way, is not the name of this ministry. Wretched is a TV and radio show. Gospel Partners Media is the name of the ministry. We produce TV shows, Sunday school resources, evangelistic booklets. That's the ministry. And we are now broadening that umbrella. Eightfold. No kidding. We are adding eight new voices. Are we out of our mind? Eight new voices here at Gospel Partners Media, including the likes of Tim Challies. You know Tim Challies from Canada, the Canadian blogger, local pastor. He's going to be doing book reviews to help the local church. That's going to be his contribution, because every man has a specialty in an area. So they're going to be doing podcasts, they're going to be doing videos, writing articles, publishing books. In fact, another one of our fellows, Dr. Greg Gifford, you know him from Transformed. If, by the way, if you are not listening to the Transformed podcast, you have just got to get on it. Is he doing a third part in this? Just two parts, no. On being unequally yoked.
Yeah, there's four.
He could do 20 parts.
Yeah, I think there's four.
On this. This is such a great podcast. He's talking about what you should be thinking about when you're dating somebody where you're not in perfect theological alignment. Does that mean you're going to be unequally yoked? It is thoughtful and it is oh so helpful. Encourage you to go find it wherever you podcast. Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. He's going to be soon. Well, I guess it's next year, actually. It's in the editing process right now. He's going to be writing a book Can't wait to tell you about it. The distinction between the mind and the body, you say, that seems esoteric. It is not. If you have ever been diagnosed or one of your children has been labeled something or another, what do you do with that? Is that their brain? Is that their personality? Greg Gifford is going to help us sort it so that you know how to respond to those diagnoses and how to deal with the issue of psychotropic medication. Furthermore, he's going to be coming into the studio in July, and we're going to do a 10-part lecture series on that subject. Why? Is there somebody in your congregation who's, I don't know, maybe dealing with some sort of mental health diagnosis? No doubt. Maybe you have. What do you do with it from a biblical perspective? Then in June, which is actually before July, not that those sort of orderly things matter anymore, Dr. Andrew Walker, you know him from, well, he writes all over the place, but he's also the ethics prof at Southern Seminary. He's going to be coming into the studio in June. We're going to do a 10-part lecture series on Christian ethics. How do you build a biblical worldview when these issues are so wonky and so new? There has not been enough conversation. For instance, I'm just grabbing one here, in vitro fertilization. There are a lot of Christians right now that are saying, hey, it's wonderful. There's a lot of Christians saying, not so fast. How do we sort these things? Dr. Walker is going to help us do just that. Do you hear the caliber of fellows that we are bringing on for this initiative? They are going to be a part of this ministry. They're going to continue carrying on their own tasks and assignments where they are, but they're joining us to make a difference. You say, Friel, why are you sharing all of this? Because we want you to partner with us. We want you to join us in this effort. We want to do something, and we want to do it in a way that models Christian conservatism and, when appropriate, Christian charity. The two can go together. You can defend your beliefs while not being obnoxious. That's the goal of this initiative. And we want you to join us in it because, well, needless to say, this is a big thing. This is a really big thing. Jimmy, are you excited about 5 podcasts that are going to be added soon?
I am so excited, Todd.
You just can't hide it. You're about to lose your mind. I think you don't like it. It is going to be spectacular. Okay, how's about Dr. John Crotts? Mm-hmm. He's going to be, oh, this guy, he's so pastoral. He's going to be dealing with theology proper, but moving it from head to heart. We're going to be focusing on church history and what that means for today. How's about this? How's about Dr. Adam Tyson from Masters U joining us to do a podcast for Gen Zers, specifically of the male persuasion, to help them to lay forth for, here's how to be wise. Here's how to live a life that is good and is rich. And he's going to do it in a way that is captivating, but oh, so biblical. That is our initiative here. This is a really big deal, and it is such a big deal. We actually have a matching gift campaign of $250,000. That means if you would please consider joining us. Don't forget, always give to church first. That's always going to come for you. You're in debt. Do not give. You wait, and then support your church first. Then consider things like this. But if you do have the means, we have a matching gift right now. So every dollar you give, it just gets doubled. That means we can carry on with this initiative and launch it bigly. It started out, we were just going to have 4 fellows, is what it was. It was just going to be 4 guys that got at it. And by the way, if you're wondering, hey, what about the Goyles? We better believe as soon as we identify a woman who is theologically sound, who has a compelling voice, something to say, we'll be adding girls too. So please don't think that it is anything other than finding the best people qualified to speak into a dark culture. And I would love to encourage you to join us, partner with us. How's about Dr. Jason Lyle? You, of course, know him if you visited the planetarium at Answers in Genesis. He built it. He designed it. I don't know that he built it by hand. I kind of suspect he had some help with that. But he designed that thing. And he's going to be speaking on science issues. In other words, we're going to try to cover a lot of territory. And we are going to distribute this as broadly as we possibly can. But I'm serious, we cannot do it without you. That is why we call this Gospel Partners Media. We need partners, and that is how we see you. It isn't just a gift to a ministry. It is enabling us to do what we do here, and we are stepping out kind of big time. Not with Joe Jackson, but we are stepping out with the Lord to try to do something. We've had enough. And we see what's happening. And so for months now, we've been working on launching this bold new initiative. And I would once again encourage you to consider partnering with us. You can visit wretched.org/donate. Just go to wretched.org. It's on the website. You can click on the give page and you can learn all about the matching gift. And you can see the 8 jolly good fellows that are going to be joining Gospel Partners Media. In other words, this is a big deal. This is Wretched Radio.
Attention Christians, are you tired of the world telling you to shut up? Well, we figured you were because we are too, and our response is not to shut up, but to speak up even louder. That's right, we are launching our biggest and boldest initiative ever, the Gospel Partners Media Fellows Program. It's our very own Christian version of the Daily Wire. 8 straight shooting, theologically sound voices will be joining this ministry to create powerful podcasts, videos, resources, books, and webinars. And these men include people like Pastor Tim Challies, Dr. Jason Lyle, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. John Krotz, and others. We are building a Christian Daily Wire, and we need your help in order to do it. Join our $250,000 match campaign by becoming a Gospel Partner today. All of the details you can find right now at wretched.org/fellows, and we can make a difference together. wretched.org/fellows.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others. It's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Books of the Bible. First and Second Kings relate the history of Israel from Solomon through the division of Israel into two kingdoms to the destruction of both kingdoms. Though Israel and Judah and their kings were often unfaithful, God continually calls his people to repentance through his prophets. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How in the world did we get here? This is Wretched Radio. Let's go back in time, shall we? It was a time when a growing number of women felt that their voices needed to be heard, that there was not equity in society, that men were patriarchal and women were being suppressed. And a group of women got together for what we know today as first wave feminism. And it is my experience, and I've even said it myself, that first wave feminism, it started out with goals and agendas I think we'd all agree with today. That we would say, yeah, of course, women can be educated. Women can work. Women can vote. We would all, yes, of course. And that there should be no distinction between male and female in regards to value. However, was reading an article at The Spectator by Carrie Gress. She's written a book on the history of feminism. And she makes the case pretty powerfully that first wave feminism isn't what it appeared to be. On the surface, it was just the right to vote. The suffragettes wanted to vote. But what this book is telling us is that there was a whole lot more going on behind closed feminist doors in an effort to do a lot more transformative work in our culture than just allowing women to vote. And that is why Carrie Gress makes the argument, hey, before you slap a moniker on first wave feminism, like, hey, it's better that first wave feminism is good. It was second wave and third wave that were problematic. She says, no, feminism has been a problem from the beginning. Its roots are baked in Marxism. Let me share with you from this article. Her book is titled The End of Woman: How Smashing the Patriarchy Has Destroyed Us. Again, it's at thespectator.org. During the first wave, large numbers of women became activists promoting suffrage, male chastity, temperance. All good. The women's rights movement, however, was far from tidy and unified. Some were indeed motivated by Christian principles. Others, especially the feminist movement's leaders, their inspiration wasn't from the Bible. It was from Enlightenment, socialism, and all kinds of eclectic and esoteric thinking philosophies. These new ways of thinking made the first wave far more radical and liberal than most realize. It was no prim and proper Victorian Tea Party. Did you know that? I didn't. I've been one of the voices that went first wave, thumbs up. And I think we would agree that the goals of the first wave publicly were laudable. And as Christians, I don't think we should have any problems with those. But that is not the point of this book. The worldview that was gurgling, and I mean gurgling underneath, is anything that we would say, yeah, let's go with that. And it explains why it is that second wave and third wave feminism exist. If you're not familiar with second wave and third wave is separating the procreative act from the procreative consequences. In other words, you can be frisky all you want, because it is just fine to take the life of your child. And by the way, did you see the Bill Maher clip? Bill Maher, who on occasion, like a blind bulb, finds the squirrel twice a day in the shed, he'll say something that's somewhat reasonable. Well, recently he was responding, like everybody else was, to Donald Trump's waffling on the life position. And he said this, brace yourself,
Not if you believe it's murder. You know, that's why I don't understand the 15-week thing. Or the Trump's plan is, let's leave it to the states. You mean, so killing babies is okay in some states? Like, I can respect the absolutist position. I really can. I scold the left on when they say, oh, you know what? They just hate women. People who aren't pro-life, pro-choice. They don't hate women. They just made that up. They think it's murder. And it kind of is.
Hello. Kind of. It either is or it isn't. FYI, this isn't the first time Bill Maher has said that. This is inside of his garage where apparently he sits with celebrities getting drunk and smoking pot.
I do think it's murder and I'm completely okay with it.
Thank you. Second wave feminism, which then led to third wave feminism, which is the separating not of the procreative act with the procreative consequences, but separating genders. What is a woman? We're so befuddled about that these days, aren't we? That's third wave feminism. First wave feminism goes way back. And if this study, if this book by Cary Gress is correct, then it makes perfect sense that out of feminism, that fertile soil of Marxism, grew all of the nonsense that we see today, thanks to the feminist movement of the first wave variety. Let me take you to excerpts from her book. Feminism, based on the explicit vision of its leaders, can be defined as an ideology characterized by three things. One, free love, the end of monogamous marriage. Two, the occult. Three, restructuring society, or what they like to label smashing the patriarchy, decolonializing us, getting rid of everything white and male. All these elements generally thought to have developed in the second wave were in fact seeded in the first. Hello. There was a variety of thought about women generally among feminism's leaders in the first wave, but there are many voices early on that were clearly anti-God, clearly anti-capitalist, clearly anti-representative republic, because we're not a democracy, we're a representative republic. They were pro-socialism, pro-Marxism. The militant tactics they carried out in the early 1900s, involving about 1,000 women, were akin to the kind of violence we witness today in organizations like Antifa and Black Lives Matter, firebombing homes, destroying businesses that didn't support their effort. Huh. They were doing that? They even tempered with the mail, applying chemicals to letters that led to significant burns on the hands of mailmen. A secret woman's club in 1912 was formed called Heterodoxy. Heterodoxy means not orthodox. It means other doxy. It does not mean traditional. It means brand new. It was called Heterodoxy, named for the club's only requirement that a woman not be orthodox in her opinion. Well-educated women in Greenwich Village, which was already a hotbed for radical notions of the socialist and communist types from Eastern Europe, Russian immigrants, the Heterodoxy Club focused on defining females as a person or human being in contrast to the normative understanding of woman as connected to fertility, children, and husbands. You got to break them free from any of those constraints or responsibilities. The founder was here's a shocker, Unitarian minister, Marie. That's all you need to know. She saw feminism as a quest to become, quote, not just our little female selves, but our whole big human selves. The humanness meant a changed psychology, a new consciousness in women. And so the idea of a raising consciousness that had been used for decades already by socialists to reshape society. Socialism and feminism from the jump have walked hand in hand. Perhaps the most famous of the Heterodoxy women was a socialist economist named Charlotte Perkins Gilman, believe motherhood made it impossible for women to achieve their potential. And by the way, this is a quote. It exposed children to the risks of cruel or neglectful parenting. So the idea of communal living, it takes a village. By the way, did you see Hillary Clinton's new Broadway play? Wow, what a woof. Nevertheless, already she was touting back in the first wave feminism, it takes a village to raise the children. It'll be better for the kids so that they don't get abused. What? How's about better parenting? That would be right. She authored the book Women in Economics. It's the Bible for progressive young women. Quote, the prosaic title concealed a radical vision for overturning the patriarchy in which the author compared marriage to, get ready for this, prostitution. Why do so many young women not want to get married? Thank you. That's the wafting odor of first wave feminism. These ideas, they were just tilling the soil back then, but the seeds were planted. And they began to sprout in second and now third wave feminism. And the fruits, woo, are rotten. Next on Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, in an unsurprising but still troubling development, NPR has hired a new CEO who appears to be a living, breathing stereotype of white liberal guilt and wokeness. Catherine Marr's Twitter history, dug up by conservative commentators, reveals someone fully immersed in social justice activism, intersectional feminism, and disdain for traditional values. She has extremist views that will now be funded by your tax dollars as she takes the helm of the publicly supported radio network. Yeah, it might be finally time to defund NPR. Stop forcing Americans to subsidize the spread of this radical leftist ideology. But that's just one man's opinion. Moving on, a heartwarming story out of Titusville, Florida, where police officers went above and beyond the call of duty after arresting a man that was wanted and also happened to be a grocery delivery driver. The officers noticed the food orders in his back seat. Not wanting the groceries to go to waste, they decided to complete the deliveries themselves. Body cam footage showed that a surprised family answering the door to find an officer handing over their Aldi bags. That's serving the community in unexpected ways. But hey, defund the police, right? In other news, comedian Bill Maher, we've talked about him already today, issued a stark warning that America might be heading down a dangerous path of extreme wokeness. I don't think you have to have special classes to see that one, Bill. But he says that we could soon look to Canada as a cautionary tale. Despite being idealized by progressive college students, Canada is facing numerous problems, from sky-high housing costs to dysfunctional government healthcare systems. And Maher argues that embracing far-left policies will ultimately drive moderate voters to the right. It's a pretty good reminder for us, I think, that utopian promises often lead to unintended consequences. Troubling reports out of Germany where four teenagers have been arrested for plotting an ISIS-inspired terror attack against Christians and Jews. Investigators on the case uncovered messages indicating that the teens as young as 15 planned to target churches and synagogues with knives and Molotov cocktails. That's a reminder that the threat of radical Islamic terrorism is ongoing, even as some of our leaders naively claim ISIS has been defeated. No, they have not. Finally, in a disappointing move, the governor out of Kansas, Laura Kelly, has vetoed a bill that would have protected children from life-altering transgender surgeries and hormone treatments. The Republican-backed legislation sought to shield minors from procedures like mastectomies and genital surgeries and puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones, which can have severe long-term health consequences. Governor Kelly laughed at the bill and claimed that it trampled parental rights, when in fact it actually aimed to safeguard vulnerable kids from irreversible harm at the behest of activist adults. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is administration, the spiritual ability to guide, govern, manage, and correct. Church leaders are charged with keeping the church on the biblical path. As God has given that charge, He has also provided the gifts which enable us to fulfill that charge.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The rotten feminist fruit we are seeing did not emanate from the 60s. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you, like, well, the rest of us, would say that the feminist movement went off the rails in the 60s. The Betty Friedans, those that wanted to separate women from having to be chained to the stove in the kitchen. Gloria Steinem, we got to liberate women so that they can be their authentic selves and live any frisky way that they want to without accepting any consequences. In other words, that they can be intimate and take the lives of their child. That second wave feminism, third wave feminism, separates women from their own gender. And that is why a new book titled The End of Woman, How Smashing the Patriarchy Has Destroyed Us, goes about the business of tracing the historical roots of the ideologies of second and third wave feminism and the direct line back to first wave feminism. First wave feminism, the ideals were fine. The public presentation of the goals, we would all say, yeah, we're down with that. How did it get off the rails? And the contention from Cary Grace in The Spectator is, it never went off the rails. It just kept leaving the station further and further. In 1912, a group got together and called themselves Heterodoxy, and they met in Greenwich Village. There were 25 charter members, lesbians, bisexuals, labor radicals, socialists, to talk about women's rights, which extended far beyond education, far beyond voting. It was about smashing the patriarchy so that there could be, presumably, total equality. The second and third waves of feminism are not new manifestations of feminism. They're actually first wave feminism, full blown. Now, we got to be careful here because on the surface of it, and there were many feminists in the first wave that were not involved in the socialism, the Marxism, the smashing the patriarchy movement, but there were enough women that were. They were a part. Yep, it was a choir, and there were a number of different voices, but theirs was there, and they were singing, and it was loud, and it cultivated the soil for what we see today as a complete obliteration of womanhood. What is a woman? Who knows these days? How did that happen? Well, it didn't come from third wave, didn't come from second wave, came from the first wave. And her contention in the article at The Spectator called Think the First Wave is a Model for Women to Think Again. There are some people who are saying, well, let's just attach an adjective to first wave feminism because everything about first wave feminism was good. And by the way, I have said many those ideals that you and I saw that were being tackled in first wave feminism, they were good. She's getting at what was going on behind closed doors and that we shouldn't affix any sort of moniker to first wave feminism because at its root, it was already corrupt. So here's what she said. Why would we want to build a new feminism by grafting on the adjectives conservative, pro-life, or Christian? It is a broken and distorted vision of the human person and the male-female relationship that lie at the root of the problems plaguing society today. It's a poison root. It can only bear poison fruit. We need to reject it. I think we need to do it wisely. I think we need to do it thoughtfully because I think the perception of most is first wave feminism seemed pretty benign today. And by the way, that's also one of the problems. First wave feminism, if we are going to fix an adjective to it to kind of reclaim it, got to be careful because their goals are radically different than the issues that we are confronted with today. It is, we are living in the hookup culture, divorce, the LGBTQ movement, the pro-abort movement, gender separate, gender affirming surgery. All of those are the issues. And her contention is it's all because of first wave feminism. Even if feminism, she said, had been the best solution for the abuses of a bygone era, there's absolutely no reason to think that more feminism will solve the contemporary problems it has undeniably caused. And so it is, having read this article as I was reading through my stack of stories, I ran into one article after another. This was not some sort of behind closed doors effort. Let's start publishing a bunch of articles that expose feminism as being the source of so many of our cultural problems these days. It just so happened that feminism was just a part of so much of what is going on these days. Here's the headline from Fox News. New State Department diversity chief. Feminism believes U.S. is a failed historical model with a colonizing past. Isn't that nice? So the new State Department diversity chief called America a failed historical model, demanding the destruction of tradition at every juncture. Do you smell that? That smells like feminism, doesn't it? Secretary of State Anthony Blinken announced the new diversity chief, touting the woman for bringing expertise and a fresh perspective on how we build a workforce that reflects America. In other words, what's going to drive employment isn't qualifications. No, it's going to be gender, sexuality, and skin color. That would be your DEI. What are this woman's experiences? Well, she owned two companies. One was a DEI consulting firm and Black Women Disrupt. Black Women Disrupt? Well, that's telling, isn't it? In which this woman interviewed Black women involved in creative spaces around the world. She had a whopping 125 subscribers. Bringing a fresh new voice. Here's from the article. These, again, written by separate sources. She embraces a feminist leadership style, but one that counters white-centered feminism trends and narratives. In order to make change, we've literally got to be about the work of dismantling that traditional structure at every juncture, said the new diversity chief. We cannot have equity without dismantling structural racism, patriarchy, and heterosexism. What does inclusion mean if white supremacy remains intact? She co-authored a guide titled Feminist Leaders for Feminist Goals, championing critical race theory, intersectionality, and the State Department has high confidence in this new appointee, who's a feminist. Now, all stripes, all shapes, all sizes of feminism, but so much of what we are seeing in culture today has at least tentacles in feminism. More Gen Z women leaving the church than men. So this is by the Christian Post, which is on some days very similar to Fox News, but men make up a majority of baby boomers who have left the church. Gen Z, majority who leave the church, men. Millennials, majority males who leave organized religion. But guess what? With Gen Z, more women are leaving religion. And they go about the business of identifying why 61% of Gen Z women identify as, drumroll please, feminist, far more than any other generation. Oh, so feminism is affecting the church. By the way, abortion should be available without restriction, 54% of Gen Z women. No restrictions. Right up to birth. Right after birth, apparently, that's Gen Z women. They're feminists. It has its tentacles everywhere. Here's another article from the National Review. Intersectional gender studies. Why are so many people on these campuses pro-Palestine, pro-Gaza? Feminism is the contention. There's gender as technology, gender and sexuality in Korean pop culture, feminism in the age of empire, decolonization, all courses being taught at Harvard University. A recent panel at Rutgers University, sponsored by its gender studies department, had a panel called Palestine is a Queer Feminist Struggle Against Imperialism. Women need to unite with Palestine because they've been oppressed. All women are always oppressed. Therefore, they stand on the side of the oppressors. And this is from National Review. Feminist activists are certainly trying to lead the pro-Hamas movement. And dozens of colleges, dozens have signed statements of the document titled Palestine is a Feminist Issue. Is that the only cause for our cultural confusion? No, but let us not be deceived. Feminism, even of the first wave variety, most certainly is a big contributor. This is Wretched Radio. If you're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry, oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Well, as you've heard by now, the cat is out of the bag. Later this year, our brand new initiative is on the way. We are building a Christian Daily Wire. 8 qualified, theologically sound, and powerful voices in the evangelical world will be joining us here at Gospel Partners Media. I'm talking people like Pastor Tim Challies, Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Greg Gifford, of course, who's already been with us for quite a while, Pastor Brad Bigney, and others. These men will be focusing on helping us continue to create content like podcasts and videos, writing articles and books. Like you, we've seen the degradation of our culture and we have decided to do something about it. Would you please help us launch this Christian version of the Daily Wire? We need your help in order to do it. Please participate in our ongoing $250,000 match campaign. Just visit wretched.org/fellows to get all of the information. That's wretched.org/fellows. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 405 AD. After 23 years of work, translating from Hebrew and Greek manuscripts, Jerome completes the Latin Vulgate version of the Bible that becomes the standard for the next 1,000 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Missing the real problems. Real problem. This is Wretched Radio. You've seen at least a news headline informing you Iran attacking Israel. Zoink, Scoob. We don't want that mess to escalate into a global war, so we've been watching it with interest. And people, theologians of varying stripes, have been asking some eschatological questions. Is this the end of the age? And the answer to that question is a definitive nobody knows. Most people will not say it's next Tuesday at 11 o'clock. Some will do that, Harold Camping. But most will just say things like, hey, look, I don't know the day or the time, but I'm just telling you, tick, 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 it's getting real close here. Well, that's still, while not making a specific prediction, is nevertheless doing what I don't think the Bible gives us permission to do, and that is to put a pin in the calendar that says this is when Jesus is returning. He could tarry for 2,000 more years. God waited 4,000 years to send the promised seed of Genesis 3:15. He could delay for 2,000 more years on his timeline. Others are asking questions about containment, who's siding with whom, what if Russia, aka Gog, they get involved in the war. We want to watch it with a great deal of interest. But we also want to make sure that we don't cross any sort of biblical lines about saying this is that. That is not the way the signs are to be read. An article in the Christian Post. The two-state solution misses the real problem. This is a fellow who teaches political economy of the Middle East. And he says the real problem there is hatred. That's the real problem. Nobody's talking about it. That these people who live in Gaza, they hate the Jews. They hate Christians. And while I would say, yeah, that's true, I think that misses the real, real problem. What motivates that hatred? Where does that come from? It's connected to their religion. That's the real problem. It's the source material that people read. I get it. Different Muslims interpret it different ways. But there is enough in the Quran that would lead hundreds of millions of people to say, we should hate Jews. That is the problem. A little bit of a history that was helpful from this article in the Christian Post. The result of the 1967 war, Israel gained control of the area, including Gaza. In the Land for Peace negotiations, which led to the Egypt-Israel peace treaty of the late 70s, Egypt obtained the Sinai, but they refused to take Gaza. Didn't want it. Yitzhak Rabin, he was Israel's former prime minister. He didn't like it, but that was the only way to secure a deal. Subsequently, Israel's policing and occupying status became rather costly, as was feared. In 2005, Ariel Sharon, the prime minister, decided to end the occupation, hoping self-rule and no Israeli presence would bring peace. But as is rightly commented in this article, that was not to be because of hatred. And that's true, but hatred is a fruit. Hatred is not a root. The root of the fruit of hatred is Islam and the Quran. After Israel's 2005 exit, wars followed at the end of 2008, 2012, 2014, all of which involved rockets being fired into Israel. Each ceasefire was broken by Hamas. So what we are seeing is nothing new, except it's becoming even more vicious. Palestinians danced in the streets after the 9/11 attacks on the U.S. Hate is so embezzled in Palestinian society that a March 2024 poll found 70% of Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank said they're satisfied with Hamas's actions. Zoinks, Scoob. This is the problem that nobody is discussing. And the problem is hatred is a problem. But what's causing the hatred? We need to have a conversation again about the religion of peace. Raising the question in all of this that I've heard many people trying to ponder and sort out, well, what should our attitude be about Israel? What is the evangelical concern regarding that strip of land? Do we support it, even when their government Every government makes bad decisions. Do we just support them? Do we support them politically? Do we support this government? Are we just interested in the land? What about the people? How do we deal with this? Thanks to Preaching for God's Glory, John MacArthur at Grace Community Church was asked that very question.
My question is, considering the spiritual state of Israel now in relation to their rejection of Christ, are we as Christians obliged to stand with the nation of Israel, politically speaking?
Yeah, I think we are obliged to stand as protectors of the Jews. Okay, that's Genesis 12. You bless the seed of Abraham, you're blessed. You curse them, you're cursed. God puts the whole world on notice. These are my chosen people. I have a plan for them. Yes, they have followed idols. Yes, they have been punished and judged. Yes, they rejected their Messiah. Yes, they are still, this Jews are living and dying and going out of the presence of God forever now. But still, God has a future plan for the Jewish people, and we have to be protectors of them. I think any nation that tries to eliminate the Jewish people has made a bad, bad decision, because the Bible is filled with the promises of God that no one will annihilate them. And anyone who tries will be annihilated. Now, this doesn't mean that we are required to give them money for, you know, what they do politically or militarily. I think that's a different issue. But we are to understand that God has a plan for Jewish people, and that we want always to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the preservation of the Jewish people until the time when they see their Messiah and salvation comes to Israel. So it's not the governmental entity of Israel that we support, it's the Jewish people. And they're constituted now, obviously, globally in their own nation. And so we should be protectors of that people and that nation. There is no biblical promise about protecting Arabs or Scottish people or English people or Hispanic people, but there is a warning from God to be sure you're protecting Jewish people. And if you do that, God promises to bless you.
Thank you to Preaching for God's Glory. If you would like, by the way, to hear Dr. MacArthur unpack the plan for Israel, encourage you to visit the YouTube machine, John MacArthur, The Church is Not Israel. We don't have time to play all of this, but it sounds a little something, man, like this.
Well, all Israel will be saved. That's in the future. There will be the salvation of the nation Israel. Paul, basically, in Romans 11, is saying that the gifts and callings of God are not repented of. God doesn't change his mind. And in the Old Testament, he promised salvation to Israel. In the New Covenant, Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 36. So God made a promise in the future to fulfill the Davidic covenant, fulfill the Abrahamic promise with the nation Israel. Even after they killed the Messiah, you remember in the early part of the book of Acts, Peter gets up and identifies what they had just done, but says, "You are still the people of God." God has a plan for the future salvation of Israel, because his gifts and callings are not subject to repentance. That doesn't mean that all Jews through all of human history will be saved. It means that there will be a time in the future when the nation Israel believes and is saved. And that is described in detail in the book of Zechariah, when they look on the one they've pierced, mourn for him as an only son, and a fountain of forgiveness and blessing is open to Israel. And then it follows into the kingdom.
That is Dr. John MacArthur describing the distinction between the church and Israel. There's still a future plan. And hey, speaking of future plans, that's right. We're known for our segues here at Wretched Radio. Would like to end the way we began in encouraging you. Would you please visit wretched.org? We are launching, not not an Iranian attack. No, we are launching a brand new initiative. It is bold. It is big. It is our version of the Daily Wire with eight new voices, podcasts and videos and books and Sunday school resources. It is a massive initiative and undertaking, and we need your support. We have a $250,000 matching campaign right now. Would you please check it out and prayerfully consider supporting us as we launch this bold new initiative, wretched.org. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.